What's up, QAA listeners?
The fun and games have begun.
I found a way to connect to the internet. I'm sorry, boy. Welcome, listener, to Premium Chapter 237 of the QAA Podcast, the Existenz Movie Night episode. As always, we are your hosts, Jake Rakitansky,
Liv Akar,
and Travis View.
We are back, babies. We have concluded, for the time being, our mini-series and will return to our regularly scheduled premium episodes. So this is a movie that I have actually seen multiple times, believe it or not. It's not that I love the film per se or that I'm a massive Cronenberg fan. It's more that it's just so damn weird, coupled with the fact that until fairly recently, there weren't a lot of movies with gaming and gamers as the central theme. So for whatever reason, over the last, 24 years, every now and again, I come back to Existenz.
Because I guess, in 99, that was like cutting edge, new, obscure thing. Hey guys, have you heard of this stuff? Imagine virtual reality video games. What would we be doing then?
Yeah, exactly.
Surely not just, jerking off, which is probably what most people use VR for.
Although Cronenberg was onto something, making the whole game experience like very, very sexual, which we'll get into.
That's true.
Now, you guys had never seen this movie before, correct?
No, this would be my first time.
Mm-hmm. What were your initial sort of reactions? I mean, did you have any idea what it was going to be going into? Because you look at the cover of this film, and it's a whole hodgepodge. I mean, it's like napalm flames and like Jude Law holding out a very weird looking gun.
Yeah, the one thing that struck me was the way it sort of alternated between like the grotesque and eroticism. It like grossed you out with these like pulsating sinew and teeth, glands and like grody biological elements, and then it sort of transitioned to fucking licking a bioport in order to penetrate it, this is getting kind of weirdly ironic.
My reaction to that scene, my girlfriend asked if I was okay.
That's a valid question.
Oh yeah.
I was not.
I turned to my wife at the end of, she had never seen it either, and at the end of the movie I turned to her and I was like, "What'd you think?" And she goes, "Hated it."
Why did you make me watch this?
Yeah, just like straight up hated it. And like, it's very rare that she will like flat out hate something. And that's just the review. There's no sort of like qualifying or, nothing redeeming really about it. So I think the movie is very polarizing.
Yeah, I went into it because you said it was like made similar time as The Matrix. And so that's all I didn't even know it was a Cronenberg film. That took me to the middle of it to realize it's weird. We're getting weird in here.
Yeah. And we'll get into, I do want to talk about this film and how it relates to The Matrix, because it actually came out much closer than I even realized. But at the time, I remember when I watched it, it sort of felt like an anti-gaming film. I mean, the video game consoles in the movie are like these bulging, pulsating blocks that use umbilical cords to jack into people's spines instead of, the sleek towers with futuristic looking controllers like, say, a PS5, or even the sort of the monolithic Xbox Series X. The quote-unquote game pictured throughout the film was more like a dream than something with flashy graphics and cutting-edge art direction, even though the film employs both production-wise. Cronenberg says that this was the first movie in which he worked with computer-generated graphics, and there's like this little kind of like dragon creature that you see very early on in the movie that's CGI, but apparently they built models for all of those things too, so that the actors actually had something to interact with. But unlike Lawnmower Man or even Nick Arcade, it only felt like the characters were in a game because the movie told us they were. Otherwise, it just looked like real life. Y'all remember Nick Arcade?
I do. It's like the players of Nick Arcade always made the experience seem very awkward. Like they were never quite sure where they were in the space, waving their hands around and stuff.
Yeah, if I can sidebar, Nick Arcade was a show on Nickelodeon that's hosted by a guy. If you go back and watch the clips, I mean, he looks like he's on speed the entire time. I mean, he unhumanly fast and energetic. And the final round for every episode was that the contestants like went into a video game, and it's them with a big green screen in the background, but they project this game, but they sort of have to like duck and dodge things. They must have been watching themselves on a television screen where they could see like what they had to dodge and stuff. And it always, yeah, like Travis said, it looked really weird and kind of uncomfortable. And yeah, it didn't really work. But I mean, if you're a kid watching, it was pretty cool. And so herein lies the question asked by David Cronenberg's 1999 film Existenz: what is real? Now, keep in mind that in March of that year, almost exactly 1 month before Existenz hit theaters, another movie asking a similar question had been released to almost unanimous acclaim. That, of course, was the original Matrix film.
Yeah, that's tough. I would have assumed this was like a ripoff of them, like it was, but it's like a kind of convergent idea thing. It's just unfortunate timing.
Yeah, two ideas. And yes, two very different takes on what it feels like to be inside of a video game. Right off the bat, there are a lot of similarities. A port that plugs into your body that takes you in and out of the game. The lead character is some type of programmer, and that there are these evil forces within and outside of the game hunting the main characters. And yet, the two films couldn't be more different. Existenz was shot on a $15 million budget and made $5.5 million at the box office. And The Matrix was shot on a $63 million budget and made $467 million at the box office.
Yeah, this feels like a very strange film to go see in theaters.
Yeah, maybe if you're like a Cronenberg person and you're like, this is the guy who did Scanners or Videodrome. Because this was, Existenz was Cronenberg's first original script since Videodrome.
Mm. I mean, I remember when the Matrix came out, because I was in high school at the time, and like, oh, I remember like everyone I knew was buzzing about it. It's like, oh, you gotta see it. I want to talk to you about it, because like it's just like the themes and like, you know, the special effects was mind blowing. I don't remember this film coming out at all at that time. No one talked about this.
The Matrix was like, I mean, I can still remember seeing the trailer for The Matrix before it came out, and it ending with, you know, Trinity and Neo swinging on this huge sort of rappel line towards the screen, and then the screen, like, it almost looked like your TV screen smashed as they hit into it and being like, what? And, you know, they invented this whole camera system to do these 360-degree sort of fluid shots. I mean, we were talking about The Matrix. The Matrix was watched, it was talked about, it was rent, you know, it was always out at Blockbuster once it came to video.
This one is interesting because it really does feel so much more like a bad dream. Like, the dream nature of this. I know in The Matrix they reference, like, Baudrillard and the simulacrum, but this kind of gets the simulacrum more, where it's like the copy makes the reality feel fake,
and you totally
blends in that way.
And yeah, I mean, I had written almost exactly that. You know, in many ways The Matrix contributed to the actual development of games themselves. You know, the idea of bullet time almost instantly appeared in Remedy's classic Max Payne just 2 years later. The Matrix also created imagery that is still used today when discussing belief structures. You know, the red pill, the blue pill, waking up from the Matrix. I mean, it has this real staying power.
Yeah, it's more video game where you pop in and then you, like, learn kung fu and you shoot a bunch of bad guys.
Right. You are more powerful within the simulation, whereas in this film, not so much.
Smirky, bad dream, yeah.
Yeah. So today, though, I'm going to try and make the case that when you look back at Existenz through today's lens, the film does a much better job at predicting that people might choose a virtual reality over a finite one.
You have been listening to a sample of a premium episode of QAnon Anonymous.
We don't run any advertising on the show, and we'd like to keep it that way.
For $5 a month, you'll get access to this episode, a new one each week, and our entire library of premium episodes.
So head on over to patreon.com/QAnonAnonymous and subscribe.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I love you.
Jake loves you.
Ha 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 ha!